Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom on the With Insights Radio Network with your hosts, Iggy Garcia, Mark Mattini, Katie Singeneagle. Sit back and relax, grab a sandwich, listen to some of the coolest hosts on the internet. Food for your soul, food for your heart. Now, on to the show. Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom Cafe. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia. I'm joined by...
Hey, this is Katie Singing Eagle.
And Mark will roll in when he rolls in on his asteroid or his comet. Mr. Astrology himself. He'll present himself when the time is right. So how are you today, Katie?
I'm doing pretty good. Been up early. Just piddling around a little bit, even though I had stuff to do. Always got stuff to do.
Awesome.
And a good morning.
Good. I want to say a shout out to all the birthday friends on Facebook. I want to say hello to Katie Shea, Bill Bean, Tom Nance, Janet Marsh, Ethan Bellamy, Yvette, that's all she's her name, Susan Taylor, Pat O'Brien, Evan Holly. Today is your birthday. Happy birthday to you. So, and we hope a good day today.
And those out there who are traveling, prayers and mercy to you. Even one of our friends who have lost someone in her family,
mm-hmm.
Our friend Mary, our love and our prayers are with her,
absolutely.
Are with you, on this time of bereavement.
I agree. Totally agree with that. She's a good friend, and we wish her well, her and her family, with prayers and love, like you said. They're having little trials right now, but that's kind of what life's about. We all have these little trials we go through. Sometimes come sooner or later, we're going to have something that will test us, test the mantle that has been put before us.
Yes, as we have family members that are transitioning as we get older,
mm-hmm.
like some of us are in our 50s or close to our 50s
mm-hmm.
or even in our 60s out there, and comes a time when we have to say goodbye for now, but it's not permanent. It's because we will see them again in the next life. So,
yeah.
And that's one of the joys,
mm-hmm.
you know. There's a lot of things that are taught to us when we were a child about heaven and hell and such. And later on when you study, you find out that a lot of things when you were taught as a child aren't true. Or if you have a death experience like I have, you find out some things, you know, in that experience or listening to the experience of others. So that's a topic for a whole show right there.
Absolutely.
I'll let everybody have their own experiences for now.
Right, right.
And maybe sometime I'll share my story.
Very well. I'm putting a post on Facebook here as we're speaking. And it shows the, you know... God, I can't remember his name, but the guy from 300, again, the leader, I forget his name, it's slipping my mind right now, but anyhow, and he's talking to his wife and his child, and it says, the oracle said not to go, you know, it's in big, bold letters,
mm-hmm.
and then he responds, but you know me, I got several opinions from different tarot readers until I got the answer I wanted, so that was pretty funny. I put that on Wint Insight's page there, so.
Okay.
And I think that's kind of the topic that I kind of wanted to go on a little bit today is sometimes spirit calls us and spirit says, hey, I need you to do this. But yet we go and we search for answers. We search for things to that will fit our paradigm, that will fit our belief system, that will fit what we want to hear
mm-hmm.
versus what we're really hearing. So I found that was really interesting. And I know we've had many discussions about that in the past, you know, very similar things. You know, awakening.
Yeah, I knew someone who on Saturday, they went and they traded some of their jewelry and wares with some of the other readers at the expo to get readings. And I'm wondering what she got
mm-hmm.
from her readings because she was going to see what each different person said, you know, from those readings because... if they were similar or different or what, you know, it was kind of interesting. I'm like, I was thinking, oh, I should go do that and try that too to see if people were right on with the same reading, or are they going to say what I wanted to hear, or what, you know?
And that's a legitimate question, because it makes you wonder what would another reader say to another reader. You know, I mean, give someone a reading. Will it be similar? Will it be to the point where you're like going, wow, I just spent $40 on to find out that the guy that said something earlier, but maybe just picks up where the other one left off too. I don't know. That's an interesting thing. That might be one of those things we could do as
like experiment.
An experiment. Yeah, like we may go to Gift of Light Expo, but maybe do a bartering. Maybe we can talk to the readers prior to and say, hey, we want to get a reading, but this is an experiment too. And we want to see if there is some validity to, you know, these reads. Like if you pick enough, because they may also pick up the experiment, you know, versus, you know, the legitimate about it. But we could be secret camera too, and just do something where, you know, we record what we're being told, and if it's very similar, then you know that there's something at play here.
Yeah, because sometimes people give people what they want to hear versus what really is going on. I try to give people what's really going on, you know, versus what they want to hear.
Right.
Oh, am I going to get a boyfriend, or is love going to come in my life, or it's always about relationship and finances, not what, you know, sometimes really going on. What's really need to happen, what you need to do to change your life in order to make things better. Just like me, I know what I need to change in my life to make my life better already,
right.
You know. It's just a matter of doing it. Stop being a procrastinator.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Mark's in the house now, so I want to bring him up to speed to what we're doing so he understands. There's a picture of Leonidas. That's his name, Leonidas from 300. In the movie 300. And it says, the oracle said, his wife saying, the oracle said not to go. Okay. But he says, but you know me, I got several opinions from different tarot readers until I got the right answer I wanted.
I am. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Do you want an answer just so you can hear what you want, or do you want the truth?
Oh, I absolutely want the truth. I don't want any kind of. I don't need the. I have enough pink fuzzy clouds. I don't need anybody to provide. I'd rather know what's coming so I can deal with it and prepare than I would. I don't like getting caught off guard by stuff, so I try to be prepared for everything.
So how many reads would a normal person need? How many reads does someone need to actually get an answer?
Now I know people that are have almost like reading addictions that will like go to several or a third. And two, you know, some of that's trial and error, because sometimes, hey, you know, there's some people don't like the way I teach astrology, and there's some people that don't. Some people don't vibrate with astrology at all. Some people do better with Reiki. Some people don't.
Sure, absolutely, I agree with
jive
that.
Jive with Reiki. Some people like tarot cards, and you know, everyone's got their own
jive Reiki.
Right. Everyone's got their own particular. You know, that's why there's 300 different ice cream flavors and 300 different coffee flavors. You know, you go. You find the one that you like that vibrates with you properly, and then, you know, then I know a lot of people that go to have several different readers of different kinds. They get a one person for energy work or body work, and one person for astrology, one psychic that they know, because we all kind of help people shift their energy and give them information in different ways. And so sometimes.
So, but do you guys think there's actually a good number that you should actually, like, maybe test the waters with? I mean, you can get three different readings. I'm sure they have three different meanings. We maybe kind of tie into each other in some way, you know, if you're, you know, cognitive enough to understand what you're listening to. So, I don't know. What do you guys think? I mean, do you think you can go with the first read? Do you should go with the second read, third read? I mean,
I think you'll... Even I know there are people like that who will go until they find a reader who tells them what they want to hear, but I think on the inside, you know when a reading vibrates with you, because it'll touch on things that you're already feeling.
Okay.
Yep.
That makes sense.
Things that you've felt stirrings going on inside, but you haven't been able to put a phrase or a word to it or been able to figure out exactly what the... I mean, and that's what I love about astrology, because I get... That's how I got into astrology, is noticing the different energy shifts and stuff. And I thought... And this is, you know, this is a revelation I've had in the last 48 hours, I think, is that the reason I noticed this so much is I'm finding that I think I'm much more attuned to those energies. Because the sign Cancer is ruled by the moon. The moon, lunar cycles, or emotions, that's all moon Cancer stuff. And I have a ridiculous amount of Cancer energy in my chart. And I'm fine. I mean, I'm just... Last 4 days with the last of the Uranus Pluto squares last night, and then an eclipse coming up on Friday. It is, it has been a 4 day struggle to keep any kind of composure and keep any kind of steady energy. I'm just like an electrical transmitter at this point.
Saying that though. I know astrology is more scientific, too, because people have been using it since time began here on Earth.
Right.
And you said about electricity. I had that stone I should have brought for you to see that Adriana gave me. I touched that stone this morning. I went to pick it up, and I got electrical shock.
That's funny you mention that, because I thought crystals and stones and all that stuff was a bunch of airy-fairy crap up until probably a year and a half ago or something. Because I had, I'd picked up and played with, stones a little bit here, at expos and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, that's pretty and stuff. But I realized how closed off I was still in certain areas. Now it's like, man, you can really feel the vibrations off those and stuff once you're, opened up. Because, they didn't used to do anything for me. Now it's like, I always have.
That's like celluloids. They use that for electricity way back. And I don't know if people still use it or something. But then I'm like, isn't that what they, when I first saw it, I'm like, oh, that's celluloids. I'm like, isn't that what people use for electricity and stuff? And before, when I was first getting into stones and crystals and stuff like that. So it's like, okay, this stuff is good. This is scientific. If something was scientific, it can be proved by science or some kind of scientific way, I was all for it.
Mm-hmm.
But before, if it couldn't be proved scientifically, then don't come at me with that
right
fairy dust, And now
right.
It's just like when stuff started happening to me
right.
myself or I remember when I was a kid when stuff would happen and my grandmother says, oh, you can't tell everybody about that because then they'll think you're crazy. And then once I became like an adult and started waking up, to different things, it's like, oh, that's what that is and that's what that is and that's what that is. And it doesn't necessarily have to be scientific for me anymore because I have experienced things firsthand. So without science,
Science.
Hey, do you guys know why the chicken coop only has two doors?
Why does the chicken coop only
run in and
two
run
doors?
Out? Because they only run one way? I don't know.
You don't know?
Why does the chicken coop only have two doors?
Okay. Because if it had four doors, it would be a chicken sedan. Joke of the day. You ready for astrology?
Oh, yeah. Our friend Siege was talking about the energies of this coming weekend and about the equinox and things happening. And I said, well, let's see what Mark has to say on the subject.
Well, in the shamanic traditions, this is probably the best time to have sex. If you're going to have sex with somebody, this is like the most... I don't know how you want to say it, most energetic time to engage with somebody, especially with the eclipses and everything. That's what they would say. That's what they say, but I don't know if that's true or not. And I would like to know what astrologers would think of that, but I think it would be supercharged, emotional, and all kinds of energies.
There's two schools of thought to that. First of all, I've been saying since the beginning of the year that this was going to be the most energetic time point of this whole year. And it's, I don't know, I mean, I was afraid I was going to turn into a werewolf last night or something. I was crawling out of my skin. It's after a couple discussions I realized that, like, I just kind of thought, like, maybe I just knew the astrology language, maybe better than some people, and that's why I was picking up on the, for that, you know, my girlfriend said the other day, so she's like, you know, maybe you're just more aligned and attuned with those energies, mm-hmm. since you have so much lunar rulership in your chart. I'm like, you know what, that never really, I mean, I kind of assumed some of that, but I never really thought about that. It's like, maybe that's why I understand it better than some people, is because my body is so attuned. Because, I mean, I guess I talked to a couple people that were okay yesterday. I mean, my energy level, the energies in my body right now, I don't even think could be classified by science or metaphysics. I mean, there's something going on. I mean, it's because that Uranus-Pluto square is, it was hitting close in my chart, but not right on anything. Now that is by far the biggest energy. That's even bigger than the eclipse that's coming up.
Yeah, folks, if you want to know what Mark looks like right now, he looks like the guy from Star Trek. Half of him is black and half of him is white.
You
look like a panda. You know how I feel? You know how I'm feeling? I'm feeling like really, like today I got up like at 5 in the morning, just like, bloop, I have to go for a jog. I have to go for a walk. So I did half jog, fast walking. I would kind of do the intervals on that. And then I sat between these four trees, and they gave me some most beautiful messages that I could, that I wrote them down, thank goodness, and I'm still writing them down. But they gave me some great, powerful messages, just, you know, personal messages, but also globally. And they were kind of smacking me in the head to remember, you know. They gave me a meditation and a dance to teach people and stuff. So I'm going to be working on that, putting that together. So it's also a good time for connecting with, you know, other sentient beings in their own language and talking to them and communicating with them in ways that maybe you aren't able to when things aren't aligned a certain way. And that's what I like about the aspect of astrology, because I don't use astrology in my, but I know that there's something going on. I just know metaphysically and spiritually there's something happening that I can't explain, but the things become very animate, like during eclipse times, during certain types of, like when you say retrograde and things like that. But they're always happening, but you feel them more, especially when you're in tune, when you're empathic, and when you're into that energy. I really feel it.
Right. I mean, because I think I saw at least half a dozen messages this morning on Facebook about, you know, people who couldn't sleep or slept like crap or whatnot.
I mean, slept through the night. I slept good last night. So. Mm-hmm. But I kept dreaming about an old church I belonged to. That's way out near Canal Winches.
And I dreamt about a tree, the tree that got cut down in front of my house, my old house. It came to me in a dream. And it was growing, like growing again, like coming back, and its arms were spreading out. And it was really amazing. It was just beautiful.
Right. So we're in, if anybody out there listening knows your birth chart at all or whatnot, wherever you have the signs of Pisces and Aries in your birth chart, those are getting completely, whatever two houses, or could be three houses those are hitting, you're being completely and thoroughly shifted and changed in that area. Because we've got four planets, including the South Node in Aries, and Mars being three of the four in the sign of Aries, and then we've Neptune and Chiron and Mercury are Pisces, and then this Friday morning, I think it's like 5:50 in the morning, somewhere in there, there's an eclipse. So we have, and this is how rare this, if anybody was at my talk at the Gift of Light Expo on Saturday. I went through some of this, but this is the spring equinox. It's the last day of the sun being in Pisces, which is the last degree of the zodiac. And so on that day, too, the sun goes into the sign of Aries, which is new beginnings, new births. 29 degrees of Pisces is the last degree of the zodiac. It's the 360th degree. It is the culmination of everything that there is. It's the culmination of everything else that exists. So not only is there the eclipse, the equinox, but it's a new moon, and there is a solar eclipse. And the solar eclipse is at 29 degrees Pisces. Now, every year there are a set of, there's four eclipses every year, usually two lunar or two solar. I think it can vary some years, but that's the norm. So the last time that there was, so there should be an eclipse at like every degree of the zodiac every 100 years or so, or whatever, say four eclipses times 100, that's 400. So every 100 years, by if everything being equal, there should be an eclipse at every sign, at every degree of the 360 degrees of the zodiac. That would be 400 eclipses, say, in a 100-year period. So there should be one eclipse every 100 years at each degree of the zodiac, roughly. There's not been an eclipse at 29 degrees Pisces since 1255. So that is 900 years.
Okay, I thought you were talking about time.
Since the year 1250.
Oh, the year
1250. Or it's 1252.
That's
cool. So it's been 900 years, 800 years. Mm-hmm. What is this? 2015?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's been...
I think so.
Yeah. It's been like 800 years since there's been an eclipse at 29 Pisces, which is the last degree of the zodiac. There's not another one till 2375 or 2377.
Hmm.
So that's another 300 and some years.
I'll be here.
So this is... right, so that's about a 1,200-year period.
Wow.
Where this is the only eclipse at the last degree of the zodiac.
Mm-hmm.
So you talk about an exclamation on this Uranus-Pluto square. This is, I mean, it's also, and it's also a supermoon. Also, mm-hmm. I mean,
well,
eclipses are not always at the equinoxes.
Right.
And
right.
So this is a one in a trazillion event.
You know what's cool that you said that? There's been a lot of events in our lifetime that,
mm-hmm.
yes,
that we got to see or experience,
yes,
when we had the time, that other people won't see for a very long time. You know, I mean, we've been through some passages of rites of passages into new eras and different things like that. And so that's amazing. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. The odds, you know, that's...
So what exact date does that fall on, though?
It's March 20th.
The March 20th, like, not from the 19th. Because I know you're talking about the...
The eclipses and okay, so this is a new moon. New moon started. See that there's so much involved in this. And this is a new moon, which mm-hmm. is different than a full moon.
Right.
The full moon brings things to a head that have been building up. The new moon is the start of new cycles. Also, eclipses bring things to a head that have been building up. So we have the eclipse and the new moon at 29 Pisces at, like, it's like 5:50 in the morning, Friday morning. And then at 6:40, I believe it is, in the evening, then the sun goes into the sign of Aries. So we have an eclipse in the morning, and then...
So it's a solar eclipse?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm going to get my bundle out then on Friday. Go to the park over here between the four trees. And
yeah, because it's...
I don't know if I'll be able to see it because it'll probably be dark still, won't it?
At 5:50-ish?
Yeah, because it was pretty dark today when I woke up.
Probably will, because we just had spring forward.
Yeah.
Spring forward!
Yeah, so that means...
So this is a very rare event. So, and it's also a... I'm here. I think it's also a super moon, which means the moon is closer to the Earth.
So we get to see the moon to the night.
Than
the
it
of the night.
Normally is. However, the new moon is the dark of the moon.
Right, right.
So
right.
It'll be closer and bigger, but we won't really
Yeah. So we'll feel it.
Oh.
You'll feel it.
Well, it's right on. This eclipse is right on my sun.
Oh, wow.
So that's never happened. Since the last time it happened was 1252. That's obviously, it's never happened to me in my lifetime. There was one within a couple degrees of my sun in like 2007 and stuff. But with eclipses, you have a smaller orb than you, usually with normal transits or events, you can play with a 10 degree orb.
Mm-hmm.
So just if you have something at 5 or say if you have something at 15 degrees of Pisces, then anything from 5 degrees to 25 degrees would be roughly making an aspect, and there's some astrologers that argue the orbs.
Okay.
But loosely, I'm comfortable with a 10 degree orb. So this eclipse is going to be exact same degree as my sun.
That's perfect. That's awesome.
So this is, yeah, so I...
Very good. I'm excited.
Hope I'm still in human form Friday.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm
like turning into a tree or something. Or crazy panda.
Where's the babies?
Look, the trees are dancing outside.
Oh,
I
yeah.
can see them. They're like, woo.
Yeah, so big weather shift from yesterday again.
Yeah.
It's kind of windy and cool today out there.
And that's for sure.
And they're waving and their arms and praising spring coming. Even though it's cold today.
Well, I want to wish everybody happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patty's Day.
And St. Patty's Day. St. Patrick was born in Scotland to Roman parents, which makes him Italian. And he took the gospel to Ireland and converted chieftains into entire kingdoms. So the Britons also claim him as well. So in America, we do our magic that we turn bodies, waters into green. And beer green.
In Chicago, so, the Chicago.
That's our
rumor.
Miracle. Eat good food. Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Dar.
Some Irish stew or some cabbage. And our tradition, our family has been to make corned beef and cabbage with potatoes in it. But I haven't got any corned beef or cabbage.
So the Irish adopted him pretty much is what pretty much what it boils down to. He is Irish today. And I think he wore blue. It wasn't green, but, you know, some things just get changed.
Some people wear that blue-green cloth, what's called a tartan. Blue-green tartan, looking for the thing. And that's my family's clan has blue and green. One side, the Scottish side has the red, yellow, and green tartan. And the Irish side has the blue-green with yellow stripe tartan. So I come from the Lucas clan of Northern Ireland,
all right.
Which are called Black Irish.
He's still not St. Patrick.
I know. But my family came by way of Saxony.
That's
because
cool.
they were Jewish. There were German Jewish people mm-hmm. during the Inquisition, and
yes,
they had
were.
To immigrate or be destroyed. So they went to Ireland. They converted to Christianity, but they weren't Catholic. They inverted Catholicism. They converted to... you know, just plain Christianity, and under the, I guess, the English Church.
And St. Patrick was a good old Catholic boy.
Yeah, so.
So for those of you who are Irish, I do apologize and hate to wake you from your slumber. You're probably already drinking.
Yeah,
I know some of my friends who are Irish are probably already drinking. We don't work on the 17th, Biggie.
I like a good Guinness myself, or Harps is good. You know, nice, thick, dark ale. You got to drink it slow because it's thick. It goes down.
I love Guinness.
You can't just chug-a-lug it.
But I like historical things. You know, I like how people will change history to their liking sometimes. You know?
I'm of partial Scottish descent also. So.
Well, he's your bro. He's your bro, man. That's funny.
Like me, if most people, if you see my picture on Facebook or something.
That's why you guys don't get along.
I'm a mixture of about 70%.
You're Scottish and she's Irish.
I'm both.
And I'm from Peru.
She's Scottish.
Because my last name McNabb, that's Scotland.
Oh, no, that's not Scottish. That's Peruvian.
No.
The long line of McNabbs from Peru.
The McNabbs of Peru. You know, everything was invented in Peru. No one ever told you that? No, I'm just kidding.
They all immigrated from Peru.
We brought, you know, the Irish potato famine happened, right? Because someone thought it was a great idea to take potatoes from Peru to Europe and cross, you know, cause all this, you know, crossbreed them and then cause this potato famine. Huge,
see,
huge mistake.
They were trying to do GMO, genetically altered stuff back then.
Yeah, the original.
Well, you know, Peru had 10,000 versions of potatoes. You know, they had big, teeny, small, you know, whatever. But that's where the potato actually came from. And yellow fever was actually, the cure for yellow fever, it comes from the jungles of Peru.
Mm-hmm.
They actually, the monks came to, they discovered that there was a sap in the tree, that they, a resin, that would kill the virus. It would kill the bug. It would, you know, what was inside you. But it was by chance. It was by accident. It was just one of those things. The miracles of the forest. The miracle of Mother Earth, man. That's pretty much what it boils down to. The mother has all the answers if we use her properly.
And if we keep the rainforest. And all forests are
Forests are important.
Yeah, so if you cut down a tree, plant one. Simple as that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, how hard is that? I mean, isn't that hard? I mean, can't we just plant a tree? Put a team of people and plant trees after
run,
they cut them all down?
Run, forest, run!
And Earth Day is coming up soon, too. So,
I mean,
plant a tree.
That's what happened. That's what happened when, you know, they came here to discover America. Their whole, one of their main purposes was to find more and more wood. You know, the forests. Go ahead.
Oh,
your big smile.
I forget. there's two holidays this Friday also as well. One is it's International Astrology Day.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And two, there's a new holiday that I think started in Toronto at a film festival a couple years ago, but Friday is International Extraterrestrial Abduction Day.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
I know what's coming on your show.
Watch out for those crows.
I have a good friend of mine making her radio debut on my show Friday.
Oh, nice.
Her name is Allison Ahern, and she's a frequent listener to our show. She is
excellent.
In the Massachusetts area.
Beautiful.
And we will be talking about eclipses. She's an eclipse expert.
They call them eclipsologists or something like that?
No. We can make up a word.
We just make up a word.
I'm always making up.
I'm sure there's probably a word for it. I just don't know what it is. I just thought that would be funny to throw in there.
Eclipsologists. Okay.
Like Egyptologists. I can't talk
like
today.
Egyptologists. Someone who's an expert on Egypt.
I think it's time for a commercial break.
Yeah. I keep derailing the conversation.
We'll be right back. You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self. You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com. Welcome back to Lunchtime Wisdom Cafe with Mark Matheny, Katie Singing Eagle, and Iggy Garcia. Well,
hey.
We covered a lot of topics today, so let's go to the great debate, over or under. As Katie pointed us in the break there, there's a big debate about toilet paper. Should it roll over or under?
You know, I like it over.
I think over.
I like over, too, but someone posted something with a spider underneath the over. Like if there's a spider underneath your, I'm like, put your hand in there, a little wolf spider gets you. But,
yeah, I like
so
to pull down.
The With Insights team declares it over wins today, so we should be.
You put your toilet paper on the roll. Make sure it comes over the roll.
Yeah, over the roll. Just like when you go to the hotel, they fold it over, nice and neat, nice and cool. You ever see that?
Mm-hmm.
So if you disagree with our findings, we'll blame Mark because he's the astrologer.
Kingdoms have been conquered and destroyed
All right, you guys be quiet. Fans? Fans, fans, okay.
Speaking of that, tomorrow we'll be doing our first sports talk show.
Yes.
Where Iggy and I will help you fill out your NCAA tournament brackets.
Mm-hmm.
And I will post some scary pictures tomorrow.
Just what time we were planning to do that? Did we decide? You had 11:30.
We had 11:30. I mean, that's me.
That's good for me, yeah.
Okay.
When's the first game?
Well, the play-in games are but no those in their brackets because it's too freaking early. Mm-hmm. There's two games tomorrow night and then two games Wednesday night. But the re-back starts Thursday.
Okay.
At noon.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah. So
Buckeyes play at 4:40 on Thursday. The West Virginia Mountaineers are here in Columbus, Ohio, and are playing 2:10 p.m. on Friday. If anyone has an extra ticket, I am on the market for the early session there on Friday. Mountaineers versus Buffalo, and then I think Maryland and Valparaiso is the
Bobby Hurley's team.
Second game. Yep.
Yeah. Interesting. So, you know, we love that dead silence sometimes when we're just like all looking at each other.
our friend Elsa that comes to Drum Circle and has been at my show, she will, she's one of all of our good friends here. She will be having a beginner astrology class this Thursday night. It's called Astrology Soup to Nuts with Elsa Hermes. I know some of your friends with her on Facebook. It's East Tulane Avenue, right street there in Columbus at 7 to 8:30.
I know where that's at. I've been there
for a time. Yep, so stop by and see her if you want to get a good beginner level astrology stuff. She's very good on the explaining the. Oh, she's very advanced too, but.
Right, and that's
maybe,
good.
Yeah, she's good at the beginner basics.
And for those of you who are listening, like Mark said, we encourage you to come, and we encourage you to support her.
Yep.
And
Laos is a very nice person.
Mm-hmm. And she's going to Peru with us.
Yes.
So I'm pretty excited about that.
She's very supportive of all of us. And
yeah. Absolutely.
Listens to our shows when she can from work, and has been guests on some of them. And
yeah. So if you guys need a link for that, I will post that on the chat room real quick here so you can find it, and then you can help yourselves to join.
Looks like yesterday we talked about the Gift of Light Expo a lot, and then how it affected us and how we did with that, and
yeah, we need to hear Mark's
fun. Yeah, so
how'd you feel about Gift of Light?
I enjoyed it. I like the expos. I have lots of, like I'd heard, I got to listen to the, I didn't get to listen to the show live last night, but I listened to it later in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's great. The great thing about the expo, I mean, the great thing about the expos is you can just, and what we do, I mean, I think all three of us here, you know, we make a lot of Facebook friends and stuff. People listen to our shows and But it sounds like we don't always get to meet these people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's really nice to be able to meet the people that pop up in the... Get to meet Susie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our friend Mozzie, who I'd never met before in person. And, you know, people I haven't seen in a long time. So it's really good to... And Kelly Bowman puts in a lot of work onto those...
Mm-hmm.
Onto those things and stuff. Now, I think, you know, obviously there were some logistics issues and things, but I think when you switch, you know, a good-sized show like that to a new venue and stuff, you're going to have a few little hiccups and things. And plus, too, just... and in fact, I will throw this out there. As I'm going to offer a free service. Anyone doing an expo in Central Ohio, if you are looking for dates that are good to put on an event, I will help you with this. So I know there are certain energies and stuff that are good, and others that are very chaotic for And sometimes those energies can be, you know, they can be good and difficult at the say, you know, because there was a lot of energy to the expo, but there was a lot of chaos too with different things.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. If anyone's looking to pick dates to stage an expo or something like that, I would be glad to help you out with picking dates and whatnot, because that can really make a humongous difference on how the vendors do and how the it can just make it makes a world of difference. To have the ability at least to look and see what the emotional weather cast will be down the road for a specific date. So I would be glad to help anybody.
I know Saturday with the energies were like off the hook, man. I was
weird.
Just like, whoa.
Yeah, it was too much for me. It was really crazy. The energy Sunday felt more my speed.
Yeah,
mine
Sunday was
too.
Much better.
I was all happy on Sunday and
yeah.
laughing and stuff. On Saturday, I was grumpy and wasn't
I
feeling
was
good.
Too.
And
I was,
had to make myself be happy. You know?
I was a pain in the ass on Saturday.
Yeah,
I don't know what I was feeling Saturday. I just knew it was really intense.
Yeah.
You know, I was like trying to avoid any conflict whatsoever from anyone. I was just like, I'm going over there. I'm going over there.
I had to.
I mentioned my other friends showed up. Nothing against you guys, but they took me on their trips and journeys, and I ran around with them. And
right.
Davey and I got to drum a little bit, like in a little duo,
mm-hmm.
like Simon and Garfunkel drummers.
Right.
Ding, ding, ding. You know, I must be the short one.
Yeah. And then you said what you was going to do beforehand. You were going to mingle and run around and, you know, get
yeah, that's, that was
get
what
the word
said.
Out and all that you weren't going to stay in the booth that much anyway. So you did what you went there to, that you said you was going to do.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't break even, but, I did pretty well considering the fact that I was just bouncing around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I didn't make all my money back, but I made more than I completely thought I was going to make, you know,
right.
It blew my mind. I was like, okay, well, that was cool. If I would have stayed here all day, what would I have done? But that wasn't
right.
my intention.
Right.
You told us, and something you mentioned too, you said, go there, let's just go there with the intention to have fun and to get Condor E-Girl and with Insights Radio exposure
mm-hmm.
and to meet the people and that's what we did.
And I think we did.
And we did what we accomplished, and then just making some money on top of that's icing.
I told you. I signed an autograph on one of our flyers to Sadie. That was funny. I was cracking up. And then someone asked about Todd. I wanted to meet Todd. I wanted to meet my Todd. La, la, la. I'm like, well, he's not here. He's hiding. He might be around somewhere.
It was nice, too, to hug a lot of people. And somebody hugged me so hard. They're like, oh, it's good to finally meet you in person.
Mm-hmm.
We're Facebook friends. And I listened
yeah.
to the show. And I'm like, you know. I mean, it was wonderful. This person kept hugging me. And I'm like,
you know what was cute?
Squeeze me to death.
Did you hear that? Remember that lady who met us? She talked to us. She was like, now she knows what we look like.
Uh-huh.
Our voices to our faces. And she's like, now I know what you look like and you sound like. And it's not I was just laughing. I was there. It was cute.
I'm a big old motherly type, I guess.
She's like,
with the wild hair.
I thought you were taller, Iggy.
You speak tall.
It's just funny.
You speak tall and carry a short stick.
Watch. Okay. But yeah, Kelly did a great job, I thought, you know, considering she practically does everything by herself. In that
yeah.
Room.
Yeah, she really does.
We talked to her a little bit, you know, in private, like in a little powwow just occurred with Dave and I and a few other people. And we were like, do you have a board or anybody that, like, works with you? And she didn't really answer that. She didn't, like, really bring that up. And I was like, because, you know, there'd be a lot of people who would be willing to maybe work with you and help you develop this even bigger. And, you know, what we said is, you know, sometimes maybe you just have to open the door a little bit.
Right.
Let people in. Because you can't even imagine what could happen, because you could have a volunteer, a core of volunteers that she was lacking.
Right.
I thought. She had to do a lot of work.
Physical
work.
She was actually mopping the floors
afterwards.
Yeah, I saw
that. She shouldn't have to do that.
Right.
There should be like three dudes that she can just count on to just go in there and mop, you know? And I was like,
Yeah, because she had something on her leg, too.
She broke her foot or something?
She had surgery late December, early January.
And she's mopping the floor, man. I was like...
That big, heavy mop. And,
I'm like, I wanted to stop drumming just because
after running,
know?
Right.
Yeah, you know?
After running the show and listening to people complain all day and
yeah.
running around and fixing problems.
Well, you know
stuff.
People are going to complain no matter what. It didn't right. matter if we were drumming, making loud noises. There were people complaining that maybe their booth was in a bad place. Well, you know, we had a reader's booth, you know, a booth that was a lot smaller than the average booth. I don't know if you guys noticed that, knew that.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually had a booth of one for five of us.
And all of our little friends.
Right.
We
had a lot of people
there. Hug out, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We should just call it Free Hugs Hangout Central, you know?
Right.
But it was fun, you know?
That's fun, yes. So it's just like we basically, what we do need is like a double booth.
Or a corner booth.
The Condor Eagles Free Hugs booth.
Yeah,
or a corner booth.
A corner booth
people
might work
could.
For us in the future. We'll have to plan. Now we know we can see, you know.
Right, right. It's trial and error the first couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if we had our free hug shirts out there like we do for ConFest, I think that would be a good draw, you know. Good.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that's what we do. That's part of our ministry.
We hug and we drum.
Hug,
we
drum.
Right.
Readings.
And I think the drumming outside is a great idea to kind of
mm-hmm.
put that energy outside and
mm-hmm.
draw people in. 'Cause I
mm-hmm.
think...
And we do our native crafts, you know. So something that it did do for me is be more up on my herb knowledge. Because
mm-hmm.
people were asking me, what does this herb do? What does that herb do? And do you have any teas mixed together?
I don't know. I just cook with it.
You know, and I know how to mix the stuff up for teas, but I need to have the teas there and ready, you know, to go. This has taught me, okay, with me learning about herbs and using my herbal medicine, I need to be on a little more what I know. And to have maybe some potions and things ready to give to me. I don't want potions.
Potion number 9?
Right.
But, you know, my stuff, something's already mixed up so I can tell people how to use it and what to do with it and what this tea does. Like, I do have a cleansing tea that will detox you if you need a detox within 24 to 48 hours. But when you drink and mix this tea, you better be close to a bathroom because it's going to be coming out of, you know, all orifices.
You know, in Peru, I think they do it here, too. I've seen it, too. They have sprays.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have, I've seen, I think, Native Americans do some similar. Well, they have, like, money spray.
Mm-hmm,
like,
I've
you have spray, you spray in your house, and you have money. And people buy this stuff in Peru, you know, in my country. We got to get the spray.
The money blessing.
You know, for blessing money. And then for love and for to remove energies and... But, you know, I mean, energy falls in 10. If you have the intention that these things work, salut. You know, that's something that I was listening to, people people who were visiting our booth, what they wanted and what they were asking for and what they were
mm-hmm.
looking for.
Yeah.
It was a good lesson. It was a good, you know, good thing to hear. And it was a good thing for me to actually talk to other people in the other booths, too, because they were really curious about what we were doing. But they didn't really want to bother us because we were having so much fun in our own little
right.
in our own little world.
We had our good friend Melinda Carver
mm-hmm.
in the booth next to us.
I'm lucky. We were kind of lucky that she was
yeah.
you know, patient with us because sometimes we were pretty loud.
Oh, no, I talked to her last night. She loved it. She
mm-hmm.
loved the energy and the. She said it helped her kind of get.
Good. And the lady next to us, too, what was her name? I forget her name. The young lady. The older
Melinda?
Woman. Not Melinda, but the one, the white-haired lady.
I don't remember her name. She was with Gayla from Grove City,
mm-hmm.
was the other woman
she
in the
was
booth.
Nice,
but I forget. Yeah.
She was patient. She was nice, and she had a great time. She
laughing
could have had,
at us.
Yeah. Sometimes I think she didn't want to, like, look over because she didn't want to, like, butt into what we were talking about. But she could just, as soon as we said something, she just couldn't help herself.
Yeah, I saw her cracking
yeah,
up.
And she told me a few little things to watch, you know, to look for in my life or to watch out for, which I'm glad, you know. Because I'm like, okay, y'all, I want to maybe get it from somebody, but I didn't know, you know, which, because I told Mo that I'll do something or barter, you know, trade off services or something, which a couple of people I talked to were, you know, were good on that. They said, okay, you know, no problem. and but I didn't go get a reading from anybody or the people I talked to, because just so busy and fun and stuff, you know. So, but I'm glad she was able. I talked to her a little bit.
Yeah, and I just try to be positive and say hi to everybody that I ran into.
Mm-hmm. Even people walking by, not really looking, I said, "Hey, good morning. How mm-hmm. you doing?" You know me.
And some people were just shocked when I said hi. I was like, "Are you me?" I'm like, "Yeah, man. We're at the Gift Light Expo. I mean, you're supposed to say hello, aren't you?"
Right.
I mean, aren't you supposed to say hi to people? Aren't you? I mean,
yeah. Back in the day, if you didn't walk by and say hi to someone, it was considered rude.
I was raised to say hello. Like, you say hi, you know, I wasn't talking to strangers.
Yeah, the moon was in Capricorn over the weekend.
Is that what
and
it was?
That'll, I could do a 39-hour dissertation on that, but.
Yeah. All right, so. that was funny.
I think we're all still.
Marinating. Oh, God, marinating from the weekend. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
All right. I was going to ask you guys a question about...
Okay.
Go ahead. I'll let
no,
you...
No, I've got a topic for a little bit later.
Yeah, yeah, because we still got plenty of time. So I wanted to go on this topic because I found it very interesting, because I know in regular business, people tend to, you know, want to know what the competition is doing, what the other guy's doing. You know, they keep up with, you know, the Joneses, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and corporate business usually does that a lot. Now, I brought up a topic on our mastermind group that we have on Facebook. And the gist of it was, do you think that there's competition? Do you believe in competition in the holistic metaphysical community? Is there a competition? Is it healthy? Do you share your clients with other clients? Because if you can't work with them, do you pass them along to somebody else, you know, refer them, you give the referrals over? I thought it was important to bring that question up, because sometimes I find in our community, even though people say there's abundance and there's, there's, you don't have lack, but some people, and I've run into some of these people and I've met some of these people, their attitudes don't necessarily reflect what they're saying. You know, they're like, it's like there's a lack of versus, like, there's never going to be another person who doesn't want a reading. You know, kind of like, well, that's my right. person. Okay, so that's the right. topic for, you know, whatever long it takes us. But, Eli, let's go with you.
Yeah, that's, yes, I saw that topic posted on there. That's very good. I definitely, I mean, I think that goes back to the mindset. Like, there is plenty for everyone.
Because
mm-hmm. even, like, we just pimped Elsa's thing earlier. I mean, I can say, oh, I'm not going to pimp any other astrologers, but I want to be inclusive. Some people may like the way she teaches better than me.
Mm-hmm.
Some, I mean, I think it's just the important, I don't worry about, I mean, because I've got a whole stack of other people's business cards at home. I don't mind. I mean, I'm always referring people to, I mean, if they say, hey, I'm looking for who's a good tarot reader or who's a good psychic or whatnot, but I turn them that way. I don't sit there and say, oh, but wouldn't you rather have an astrology reading? You know, I don't. I mean, if they, well, hey, I'd love it if they do, but I'm not going to. If that's what they feel that they need, then I want to. Because I'm like that anyways. I'm weird in that way that I have a little bit of part of me that's like a little bit of a control freak,
mm-hmm.
but that part of me, though, I like to control things without physically touching anything. I like energy games, so I like to see if I can shift stuff without. I don't want to directly say something, or I don't want to physically touch anything. Mm-hmm. I like, I'm the astrological Yuri Geller or something. I don't know. I mean, I like seeing if I can shift things. And so I'm always trying to set people up together. Not like dating wise, but like this person could really benefit this person's energy work, or this person really would like this person's how they do psychic readings. And I like trying to energetically take people and set them in the right spot. without physically touching them. But it's like I feel that, because I have all these, I have people that are my sports friends.
Right.
And cause I've worked on sporting events since 1985.
Okay.
And I've got my astrology friends, and I've got my conspiracy friends,
mm-hmm.
and I've got my drum circle friends, and I've got, you know, I've got my music friends that have got a bunch of friends that used to be in bands throughout
mm-hmm.
Columbus and stuff. So I have all these different groups of people, and there's little overlaps between them, but I like trying to put people in the position to meet the people they're supposed to meet. So I know, like we were talking about Elsa earlier, she's met a lot of great people through me that
mm-hmm.
I've made contacts with, and a lot of them I've met through you.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I think you and I met through Brenda at Mystic mm-hmm. Nirvana, and I've met a lot of people through this. And so there's all these different, like, concentric circles that, you know,
yeah.
kind of, and it's amazing the people you run into through different people. And I think it's just aligning. So I don't, it's just getting people in the right spot. So I don't worry about if somebody's doing a, going to get a reading that maybe I could get or something like that. It's like at the bottom of the line, you either have a fearful existence, and this is across the board and everything. You even let your fear, you either let your life, English optional today, you either let your life be ruled by fear, or you have the underknowing faith and intuition that everything that's supposed to come to you is going to come to you, and you're exactly where you're supposed to be, and the people that are going to find you are going to find you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a mix between, like, promoting and putting yourself out. I think you got to let people know you exist sometimes, but there's also that feeling that the people that are supposed to come to me for readings are going to come to me. So I don't worry about...
Okay.
I recommend Matt Mouchot to people, and
right,
Elsa,
right.
and you guys, and so I don't have any.
Mm-hmm.
There is enough for everyone, because everyone has certain people out there that are going to resonate with them, and that have a specific message to. Because this has been happening to me all the time. There's a woman who came to my lecture Saturday, and I had gotten two messages for her, and I didn't even do. I mean, I did an astrology reading for her, but on the side,
mm-hmm.
I had like two messages for her that I, because this has been happening a lot to me lately.
Intuition,
where
other
just,
stuff.
Yeah, weird stuff comes across my path, or weird, somebody says something really strange to me, and I'm like, what the hell am I supposed to do with that information? Now I know. Now I know that within a week or two, or in a month, I'm going to run into somebody completely separate from where this information came from,
mm-hmm.
who's going to need that information. Because I've just had some really bizarre experiences the last several months with just stuff getting put out there, and I'm like, what in the world does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
But then somebody shows up, and it's like, oh my God, that message was from you, or for
mm-hmm.
you.
You have that intuition come up in,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I get bits of information that just make no sense whatsoever at the time.
Just like we doing popcorn readings, and Iggy says, you need to go get some ice cream.
Yeah.
Or go to Chuck E. Cheese and eat some pizza.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like
it sounds weird, but to that person, it probably makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. So what about practitioners who seem to have a hard time and struggle with their businesses or their focus or whatever. I mean, but they're good, though. I mean, they still
right.
do good readings. They still do
right.
good work, but they still seem to not be able. I mean,
So when we do a reading or a class, we're teaching and helping others. But at the same time, we are also being taught.
Mm-hmm.
When I give someone an astrological reading, I'm getting a reading back from them as well.
Right.
Okay. They're teaching and showing me something. A, you need to study more on this area,
mm-hmm.
or you need to be better prepared on that, or like Katie, like you said, with the I should know my herbs, some of the herbs, what they do a little better, and things like that. So it's there's two. Even though you know, we may be getting paid to give a reading or something. We're getting information and stuff back, too, on better ways to market ourselves, better ways to set up our reading, better.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's what was your question?
Well, what I'm saying is that, you know, there yeah, that's it. That's the question. No. No, the question was, the second part of this question was, you know, people who do the work, who do the metaphysical work or do the holistic work, and they struggle.
Oh.
They have this struggle.
Right.
I mean, I know they're human, too, and they're going through the process, and they're health, and they're working on themselves through the whole thing. But we run into it. We've been there at times.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, where we just can't seem to get over that hump, you know, to...
What I think is you need to, just like part of development, you need to develop yourself a little bit more, study your craft a little bit
mm-hmm.
better, and even look for the cues when you're with someone on how to, you know, what is coming off of the person that you're reading also. And that way you learn how to be more in tune to the universe, to the spirit, to what's coming across to you. And even so, seek to help that person heal, not just have a client that's going to come back to you back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, but seek an end for that person to help them heal and find answers to the questions they have, rather
mm-hmm.
than, I know there are readers that I do know who want to keep that client coming back to them, you know? But why not just make sure that person heals and then that person can refer you
mm-hmm.
and said, this person actually helped me heal, get through this problem, and the problem is now no more. It's, we found a solution. And then they'll say, oh, they gave a solution. And then another person said, this person helped me, and we had a solution, and so forth and so forth, instead of trying to hold on so tight to that client or having people do popcorn things like run from psychic therapist to therapist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, actually try to get that person on a better road on their own individual path. And like you said, there is abundance. I don't worry. I'm not a set reader. I read, but if I get someone to read or not, I just say, you know, source, spirit,
mm-hmm.
God, send me who's supposed to come my way. And that's what happens, that I have a word for, or some knowledge or wisdom or something like that for. I don't care if I get 100 people or one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It means that what I had to say, what was given to me, downloaded to me to give to that person, is quality information.
Right.
Quality knowledge, quality wisdom that they're going to take and run with to help them heal their life or be better on their own path.
You made a point with abundance. When you said abundance, abundance is the relative term. I think that's the key word sometimes when we do any type of work,
mm-hmm.
business, metaphysical business, landscaping, whatever. Abundance is one of those things that it's either you're going to think of it as monetary or abundance and receiving whatever the client gives you or however you receive that. So I think being very specific on what you want and how you want it and what it looks like is important too, you know, because if you have a map and you don't know where you're going, you know, because we look up this map on my wall, you know, it takes you in many different directions.
Yeah.
And you can see many different things. You can go to the lake and you can go down to West Virginia and you can go to Columbus, you know, in different parts. But I think you kind of have to have some kind of direction too.
Mm-hmm.
Which way you want your business to flow and which way you want your personal life to flow and how you want things to look. You may have to go 270 versus 71, you know, around.
Right.
You might have to change your path a little bit, your the way you're doing things and the way you're traveling. You might be on the freeway one day. One day you might be on 33. One day you might be on Route 23. You know, just I think that's what happens in our business, that what we do. Some days we're on the freeway and we're doing real well, and then other days we're on Route 3, you know,
right,
out of nowhere,
right.
You know, but there's things to see and there's things to experience. There's things that, regardless where you're at, you're experiencing and taking in energies.
Even if you get lost or make a wrong turn, is it really a wrong turn?
I would have to say no, it's not.
Yeah, because maybe you were supposed to go that direction, or sources keeping you from being in an accident somewhere,
sure,
or running into a deep roadblock of something.
Take gas and make sure. Have a quarter tank and get lost out of.
No, I've been there, though. I've been there, and by a miracle, my gas has lasted until I got to a gas station. I was in the hills of West Virginia and got lost. Mm. And I'm like, my tank was almost on E. And it, you know, I'm like, okay, Lord, I need a gas station or something. And you know what? That gas lasted in that tank till I found a gas station.
You know what's so funny? When I was first dating my wife, she would run out of gas when I'd have to go get her, like get in my tank and fill her up. And last night we were going to a meeting to see our friend Colin, who's our accountant, and she goes, well, we can't take my car, because it's almost out of gas. And I'm like, well, you better fill it up when you get home, because I don't want it to be pulling up and, you know, and bailing you out again. You know, and I hadn't said that for years.
Right.
And then we get home, and I'm sitting in my car, and I see her go in, and then I see her get out. She drives off. She's all mad at me. I gotta get gas. She goes get gas, and she fills up her car. You know, but you know, it's, you have to have some things. You have to be really prepared, you know, for that.
Right.
I hate when my family, my kids, they're like almost riding the E,
mm-hmm,
and they got money to put money,
right,
gas in the car, but it's like Iggy's gas is either half full or full all the time.
Yes.
I don't take those chances.
Yes.
Yeah, I usually don't let mine get past the half point unless I'm either just really low on funds, or just like right now, I'm almost down to a quarter tank because I got a dollar off at Giant Eagle, and I want to wake up. So I want to use that dollar off.
Right.
Right.
So I want to get it down low so I can use that dollar off and make, you know, make it worth the while of using the dollar off, you know.
So. What's your astrology?
Well, I remember my original point on it. So I told you I'm barely functioning in my body. But yeah, I think about the people struggling to bring in money and stuff in the metaphysical field, I think, or the holistic field or spiritual field. I think my bad analogy from 20 minutes ago was, you know, we're getting a reading and information back from people, too.
Sure.
So we're learning, and we're, you know, I found that I had a lot of, like, I don't know, chakras blocked or whatnot, to where I wasn't letting myself receive stuff. And I wasn't, you know, I still had parts of me that didn't think I deserved to succeed, or I didn't deserve to have good things happen,
mm-hmm,
to me. And even now, you know, I thought I'd cleared a lot or most of that out, but there's still, you still find those little pieces that are stuck,
mm-hmm,
and it's like, until you, like, you know, I'm ready to step out and allow these good things to come in and allow the universe to help provide and take care of me, and, you know, let other people help and do things for you and stuff, then it's, I think that's, sometimes it can be representative of our own limitations. And like our good friend Siege said, his New Year's resolution, I've probably mentioned this 20 times on different shows, but his New Year's resolution was to get the hell out of his own way. And I think that a lot of people, I think, have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have to learn to stop. I mean, like, really, I mean, sometimes we get into confrontations with people, and sometimes we have people who don't like us or are mad at us, and for a large percentage of things, we're the ones who tear ourselves down the most.
Mm-hmm.
We're the ones who keep ourselves from. And there's some part of us that doesn't feel loved or doesn't feel worthy or something. And we have to fix those spots. And then, like, as we do, then that allows more good things to come in and more good things to happen, as opposed to, you know.
I see that a lot, too, in the religious community, in churches and temples, and people that are ultra religious, they don't feel worthy of love, or feel worthy of God's goodness, or feel worthy of having nice things or abundance, or having money or treasures or something like that, because it's always taught to them as being sinful. But Scripture teaches us that says you are worthy. There's spaces that says you are loved. No matter what you do, God's love is unconditional. His abundance is unconditional. And why are we taught that as children when that is the opposite of what ancient scripture, in all ancient scripture, says? It just baffles my mind of those things. You are worthy. You are loved. You are abundance. Mm-hmm. You are made to be in the Creator. You are. There's all the positives that we are. So get out of your own way and get it out of your mind that you are unworthy, or you shouldn't have love, or you shouldn't have this, or you shouldn't have that. Because from time beginning, the Word, the Source, our Great Spirit, already said we are. Mm-hmm. So who are we? Are we better than God to tell ourselves that we aren't, that we're un this and we're un that? Mm-hmm. Who are we? Are we better? No, God forbid. We are abundance. We are rich. We are, and even myself, I got to tell myself these things.
Sure.
Because in my brain, it's been conditioned in me from a childhood that I'm not worthy, that I am not, you know, not from my parents, but from other people and other things, you know. Scripts, get the scripts out.
And I had to learn
brain.
To get those scripts out too, like Katie said. You know, the scripts were pretty powerful, especially when you're young. You know, you get impressed pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you have, like, people you look up to, even bigger kids. You know, you look up to bigger kids, and then you start to believe the hype. You know, you want to be part of the group. You want to be part of the gang. You know, you want to be part of, and then you start to buy into this stuff. And then next thing you know, they leave and they go off and doing their thing, but you still have the scripts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're going, well, what the hell's wrong with me?
Gotta burn those scripts.
You know, so it's like, okay. But we're like sponges. Even today, I mean, even as adults, we're sponges. We take in and we listen, we hear, and we hold on to things. If we really sat and, you know, figured out what is important to us, because I don't think people really ask themselves, what's important to me? You know? Because
mm-hmm.
we've been taught to be servants. Let's volunteer. Let's do this. Help that person. Help this person. But
what do I want to do?
You know, sometimes we should ask, what would you like to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's important to you? Because if it's important to you, then you can give that to the world back. You know, you can't give the world back what you don't have. You know, if you're angry and bitter, I mean, you really can't. I mean, you can. I mean, go to a soup kitchen. Maybe they'll waken you up and you'll... But you can't really give, you know... Like, I can't give somebody $1 million, a charity $1 million. But I can give something to charity in a different way,
yes,
through my efforts. You know, there are other people who can do things. So, I mean, that's just, it's just something we have to work on. And it's going to be forever. It's not going to be one of those things that just happens overnight. But so let's roll into astrology. Mark's reading there. And
so it was funny. My talk on Saturday was astrology, ascension, and solar flares. So I was tying together the correlations between the big astrological planetary events and ascension symptoms and the solar flares. And I did a lot of research on when these biggest solar flares happen, that they're all around big planetary, you know,
mm-hmm.
Pluto-Uranus square. At the first six Pluto-Uranus squares, there's been large solar flares within a week of those dates. The same thing with eclipses and stuff seems to bring a lot of that energy. So I just, funnily enough, after my energy was all weirded out last night and this morning and stuff,
mm-hmm.
I mean, not bad, just extremely just bizarre. So I look up on my, I get a ding on my Facebook. And there is a severe geomagnetic storm happening. It's a G4 level, elevated solar wind speed and density have been pounding on the Earth's magnetic field, with massive spikes in solar winds, and these winds are supposed to enter the Earth's atmosphere. And also, these have been increasing this morning. It was level KP5, which I'm not sure exactly what that means. Then it went to KP6, and then a little bit ago went to KP8. Says geomagnetic storms reaching the G4 level are expected from the combined effects of recurrent and transient features on day one and major storm conditions.
Hmm.
Says power systems, possible widespread voltage control problems, which is happening to me internally. And some protective systems will mistakenly trip out. Dude, I'm tripping out. key assets from the grid. Space station operations may experience surface charging and tracking problems. Corrections may be needed for orientation problems. Other systems affected could be induced pipeline currents affect preventative measures, HF radio propagation sporadic, satellite navigation degraded, low-frequency radio navigation disrupted, and auroras have been seen. So the aurora borealis, the northern lights, been seen as low as Alabama.
Hmm.
So that's a bunch of scientific jargon and whatnot, but just to back, you know, right in between the Uranus-Pluto square, just a couple hours after, we have these. And just a skinny on, you know, a solar flare is like microwaving something. That's why there's in July of 2000. I'm just totally hijacked this. And in July of 2012, we were almost done. There was a gigantic two large solar flares set off, but luckily the sun had rotated and was facing away from us. If the sun would have been pointed at us,
mm-hmm.
at that time, we would still be, all the major scientists say, we would still be recovering from the damage that occurred
critters.
3 years ago. Yeah, because
really?
Even,
wow.
Yeah, there's a thing called the Carrington event in the late 1890s in Canada.
I remember that.
Where they had a couple...
I was there.
There was a where there was a large magnetic, and it knocked
mm-hmm.
out electrical wires, phone. Mm-hmm. Now they didn't have nearly as much.
Burned them all.
Electrical stuff, mm-hmm. but the northern lights were so bright that for 2 days people could sit outside at night and read.
That's crazy.
Mm. But lately, too, around the world, a lot of the different volcanoes have been going off.
And this happens
in
with the Uranus Pluto squares, and also. Earth, larger earthquake activity is
mm-hmm.
up.
So the Earth is reacting to all this activity that's going on. So,
The Earth is just having fun, guys. She's just doing her thing.
Yeah, she's shaking her booty a little bit.
That's right. Shake your booty. Shake your booty. Shake, shake, shake. Shake, shake, shake.
Throwing off a little ash here and there.
We need to add that to our clip.
Shake your booty. I've got that at home. I can...
goodness.
I'll try and throw that in there.
Mark.
Oh, yeah, and with some of the volcanoes, too, there's a new island out in the South Pacific somewhere that some people have... gone on and seen, but they said it's very unstable yet.
Mm.
So a few people have landed and have been exploring it, but they said it's just made out of ash. And
well, there's
so
an island of trash, too, in the South Pacific, too.
Yeah, an island
all
of
the
trash
bottles.
And ash.
Mm-hmm. Trash and ash. Lemuria returns.
Oh,
as
yes.
a recycled bottle.
Right.
But there is like this big pile of trash.
Yeah, plastic. It's
just
mostly
plastic.
And a lot of sea creatures have been getting stuck in it.
Yeah,
too, so
it's kind of interesting. You know, and Hawaii's gotten bigger because of its volcano activity. It's actually
mm-hmm.
increased in size. So, I mean, it's just interesting.
Yeah, their big volcano has been flowing for about
mm-hmm.
a couple years now. They're hoping that it doesn't have a big blowout, but it's just been flowing and done, took away a few of the villages in its path.
I think Japan is shrinking. Like, it's actually, like, it's getting smaller.
Wow.
So, I don't know.
Mother Earth
just from wear and tear, you know, from the water.
Shifting
yeah.
and changing.
Yeah, I get email alerts from the U.S. Geological Survey, so that's how I keep up on the earthquake news. And I guess there was a large one in Mexico a month ago. It had actually shifted the western coast of North America, it was like a couple hundredths of an inch or something.
That's
but
a lot, though.
Right. When you talk about shifting a continent,
yeah,
that's
a lot.
Because even the Earth has shifted off the axes. A bit. The axes have really changed over the last
years. I was wondering why I was walking sideways like this.
You know, so our axes have even changed. So, I mean, and it does that every few thousand years. I mean, how did the continents become the continents, you know?
Well, I remember they were talking about the poles shifting. That would have been a mess.
Hold on to your axis.
Yeah. But, you know, the answer could be found in Peru.
and a small potato.
Maybe
you put some wires on it, you got a battery.
Right.
Some people say life started in, you know, the Mesopotamian, you know, the little thing in the Middle East, and some people say it started in Peru, so.
I've heard that too.
But, you know,
but they were
they,
all together at once.
They are lined up too. They're kind of lined up on one of the vortexes or the equinox lines. What kind of lines? Meridian lines or something?
The ley lines?
Ley lines, grid lines. I think those are all just different names for the same thing.
Okay, so it's all lined
ley
up.
Line.
And all the pyramids are shifted together, so,
Well, you know, Terry's husband, who does, you know, he does all that work. You know, he's what do you call him?
Mm-hmm.
He checks fossils and stuff. I forget the word.
Oh, archaeologist.
Okay. I don't know if he's a real one or just one by hobby. But he actually connected all the lines to the pyramids, to Serpent Mount, and Serpent Mount to Peru. And he like has this chart that he saw. Someone in Japan had figured this out, that Peru's connected to Serpent Mount. Serpent Mount's connected to the Egyptian pyramids. The Egyptian pyramids are connected to Machu Picchu and all these different areas.
Yeah,
so, and the Nazca lines.
There's pyramids in India.
And it goes to India too.
Indonesia and, you know. Ooh, give me a shiver.
You know, there was probably this type of airport system, teleportation system through the earth. You know, I don't discount my ancestors because, you know, for us to get where we are now as human beings, we had to go through a lot of crap. So at one point, I believe we were really advanced to the point where we used crystals and we used all kinds of telepathy and all kinds of, but like anything that's good, there's always somebody who thinks that they can do something better and profit from it. And they just blew us all up to smithereens.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because you're finding now, historically, and I know Mark and I have talked about this, and I read this book by a guy it's called Time Traveler, and it talks about these artifacts that they find buried in these coal mines in North America, especially, and then also in England. They go into these coal mines, and they're finding shovels and screws and stuff.
Right.
I mean, and when they break them open, there's like these lamps and things. I mean, it's like, that's impossible. That can't happen.
Right.
But in the 1800s, they would publicize these. You can do the research, because I'm not making this up. You can do the research, and they talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
But our government is really hush-hush about it. They don't want anybody to know, because they don't know. You know, they don't know either. So there's a big mystery, and, you know, and a lot of it has to do with religion aspect, too. The church doesn't want you to know these things either, because they know something. There's some historical documents.
The Earth has been destroyed and reformed and destroyed many times, because even in Vedic history and scriptures and stuff, it talks about how the Earth is millions upon or even billions of years old. And they have, and I've seen charts with one of their teachings of how there's stuff and man down deep in the crust that they have dug and found different things in society.
I'm glad you said that.
And stuff.
Because I remember my friends renewed their vows in the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
This was just this year. And the priest mentioned that the earth had three cycles. Three cycles. And he tried to talk about the spiritual cycle of it, you know, la, la, la. But when I heard that, I was like, wow, he just said something that no one even heard in this room right now, except for maybe me, you know. And he said, the earth was destroyed three times in its spiritual awakening. You know, he said it like that. And I was like, because I guess it's in the Bible somewhere. I don't know. I have to do my research on that.
And there's a lot of stuff that's not in our 66 books. You know, mm-hmm. there's a lot of.
But Spirit wanted
like
me to hear that.
Three or four times that's the 66 book size.
Mm-hmm.
I just got a copy of the Books of Enoch recently, which are some of the.
That's why I said there's a lot of stuff that we're taught as kids that aren't necessarily true or
mm-hmm.
false. It's just that you've got to do your own teaching and studying. And then people are like, they don't want to go through all that, you know.
What do you think?
And that's one of the, I'd say mankind has been destroyed several times over. And that's,
mm-hmm.
yes, they have to keep it. They have to keep it hidden. And that is one of the big things that happens over there in the Middle East when there's all this fighting going on and we send troops over there and all this kind of stuff is one of the stories that you got to really search, but it's in the news out there, is that all these really ancient museums and stuff over there keep getting destroyed and
mm-hmm.
looted and stuff. And that's not just like artwork by the newest artist. Like stuff holds the history to the origins of mankind and stuff. And this stuff has gone, been disappearing at an incredible rate the last decade.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been pulverized.
So someone has.
Yeah, because they said it's blasphemous against God. Who created all that stuff? It's blasphemous.
Right.
You know, who created those societies? They just didn't pop out of nowhere.
And you're right.
You
people
know?
Are looting stuff. People are actually taking it, too.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's just like, I mean, I've got stuff in my head that's from ancient Persian
mm-hmm.
Mesopotamia that come from lives ago. I mean, I'm 5,000-6,000 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, y'all out there might not believe it, but why do I know this knowledge? And I used to write stories about stuff. And I didn't know it till I'm like, oh, I took some regression type therapies and stuff. And I'm like, that's where that came from. It ain't from reading books because I haven't read any stories about those things, you know.
I'm not saying it's aliens. It was aliens.
So just to try to get myself up on stuff, I did do a lot of history study, a lot of ancient scripture studies and stuff like that, just to, so I could didn't think I was nuts.
All right. In closing, what do you want to leave with the listeners?
Drink lots of extra purified water over the next couple of days with these, when we have these solar flares and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you're sensitive to these energies, it can throws you off whack a good bit. So it's important to have, like, extra water and, you know, fruits and vegetables and things like that.
That's what my trees told me.
Take care of your body over the next few days.
Okay. Katie?
And make sure you get out of your own way and learn to love yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to say play more. Enjoy the moments you have with the people you love. You know, give somebody a hug that maybe you haven't given a hug to. And just be grateful for what is in front of you. We don't know when our last breath will be. We're not guaranteed that. So with that, you know, it takes a lot of responsibility. That's a lot of pressure, too, at the same time.
Right.
But still, you know, it's something to think about. Something to think about. Maybe us getting angry about really something that seems to be very important at that moment. Maybe it's not. Sleep on it. I want to say Ho'oponopono. I want to say peace and love to everybody. Tomorrow's our show, 11 a.m. 11:30 a.m. We'll do the show.
NCAA tournament preview.
And then hopefully you can tune into that, those of you who are sports buffs. And then we say goodbye. It's the end of the world as we know it.